Now KRWG News. It's 7:45. Good morning. This is KC Counts. Legislators advanced a proposal to reform New Mexico's public pension plan for state and local government workers, with some dissent among Democrats in the legislative majority. Public workers and retirees packed the Senate committee hearing for deliberations on a bill aimed at reining in $6.6 billion in unfunded liabilities at the pension fund overseen by the Public Employees Retirement Association. Major provisions of the bill would tie future annual cost of living adjustments to investment returns instead of providing automatic 3% increases. It also increases pension contributions by employees and employers, with the exception of low-paid workers and state police and corrections officers. The 2020 census starts in a couple of months, and organizers are reaching out to populations in New Mexico that are historically undercounted. As KUNM's Hannah Colton reports, a bill to spend $8 million on outreach efforts passed its first legislative hurdle last week.
Money would go to a social media campaign and community-led outreach efforts in counties, tribal governments, and schools all over the state. State demographer Robert Radigan has been prepping for the 2020 census for the last decade. He told lawmakers that for every person not counted, the state will lose tens of thousands of dollars in federal funding. And if the campaign can motivate just 214 New Mexicans who weren't planning on it to respond,
the state will see a return on its investment over the next 10 years. The commission would like to think we're going to motivate far more than 200 people to respond to the census who otherwise wouldn't.
The bill also calls for emergency status so the funds could go out to community census groups immediately after getting the governor's signature. Starting March 12th, you can fill out the census form online, over the phone, or by mail. At the start of April, census workers will begin going door to door, too. President Trump wanted to add a question about citizenship status, sparking fear in many immigrant communities, but that got blocked by the Supreme Court, so it will not be on the form. For KUNM, I'm Hannah Colton.
Funding for legislative coverage provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners. A new theater performance in Las Cruces might get you thinking. Some thoughts from commentator Algernon DeMassa.
At the end of the play's opening scene, the entire ensemble lays on the floor dead. A death count rivaling Shakespeare at his most violent, and the night had just begun. Yet what a pleasure it was to see the Black Box Theater full on the opening night of a Eugene Ionesco revival last weekend, and for one of his more obscure and difficult plays yet. The No Strings Theater Company in downtown Las Cruces is greeting the new year with a production of The Killing Game, a suite of mordantly funny scenes about a plague. The play, first produced 50 years ago, somehow feels dated and relevant at the same time, in part because director Marissa Bond and her ensemble approach it without excessive seriousness. A mysterious plague descends on a city, and the result is chaos, panic, paranoia. A germophobic rich man hides away in his mansion, insisting every inch of the house and even his food be sprayed with disinfectant. A pair of prisoners attempting to break out of prison are offered their freedom by a guard who tells them about the rampaging plague and warns them the real prison is outside. This plague can stand in for many things: nuclear war, climate disruption, the rise of authoritarian rulers, waves of refugees. You pick something that freaks society out. In The Killing Game, the scenes amount to variations on the theme of isolation and dread. Ionesco's plays are often described as theater of the absurd, but he himself described his work as a theater of derision. He recoiled from theater that was serious or didactic. He mocked political ideology in art, and he argued for a theater and literature that are playful. One might describe The Killing Game as Monty Python's dying circus. Bond and her cast of 13 get it just about right. Taken too seriously, the play would easily come off as nihilistic and hopeless. A general audience might feel lost in dialogue loaded with non sequiturs and odd leaps, with no sympathetic or reasonable character to follow. Here, however, the scenes are played simply and clearly enough, sometimes a tad slowly, but other times briskly, with very few props or costume changes. So relax. Take in the play unseriously, and the themes should emerge plainly, as when Karen Birdsell and Teddy Aspen Sanchez play a scene as an elderly couple still trying, late in life and in the midst of a plague, to negotiate, before it's too late, how to love one another and why that still matters. Never fear, however. Someone dies while they're trying to figure it out. The Killing Game by Eugene Ionesco is at the No Strings Theater Company in downtown Las Cruces through February 9th. With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon Damassa.
Algernon Damassa's columns appear in the Las Cruces Sun News. You can also read him in the local viewpoints section at krwg.org. Damassa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.